have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start. Change my heart and my spirit, please be new.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I need a healing touch from you.
Feels like I'm so and I ask myself the question.
I ask myself,
can he really, really love?
Can he love me? Hold me in my integrity. Change my heart.
This is Apostle Dawn Westbrook, Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elation Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we Shabbat the Lord and declare the word of the Lord over your life for this hour. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was none other than Lord Change My Heart. Amen. We bless the Lord for that introduction song. Thank you so much for the applause. Our producer, Dr. Kimmy Kim, we want to acknowledge her first. Amen. Thank you for this platform. Well, thank the Lord also for Shabbat Saturday here on Elation Radio. Amen. You're able to access us via YouTube. There will be a replay available after this production. Amen. But I want to just thank the Lord. I mean, there's so much. I'm just so full. I had an amazing morning, and it was so full of just like a newness, a revival. Yes, a revival took place in me. And I'm just going to just share from my heart in the opening, and then I want to make sure that I acknowledge our very special guest here on Shabbat Saturday, Faith Conversations at the Red Table, in the name of Jesus. And I'll do a sound off and then I'll come back and share with you. Is prophet and prophetess Michael Crawford, man of God, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank the Lord for you being here with us on today. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And prophetess Melissa Ross, are you here in the house this afternoon?
Yes, I am, woman of God.
Hallelujah. We're ready to roll. We have launched. Amen. And we are going to get started here. But first, I just want to share briefly with you. And please, my co-host, Prophet Michael Crawford and Prophetess Melissa Crawford, Prophetess Melissa Ross, will you be so kind to let me know if we are having audio issues, meaning that you cannot hear me? Amen. I have a new headset, and I praise God. I praise God that we are going to have a great audio quality for today on this particular broadcast. So this morning, I had this moment, and it was so profound to me. The Lord had me reflect on the beginning, the basics, where I first began. And he had me remember the time when I was so open to believe whatever the Father said, that settled the matter. There was no more discussion to be had on that particular issue, whatever it was. I took him face value at his word. And he had me think of a child. How often he tells us to come to him as a child, as the little children. And how a child, I don't know if you're a mother or if you're an auntie or an uncle or a grandparent or grandpapa, whatever. But you notice how the children, especially the small ones, amen, they will look at you with such an intensity of trusting you. I mean, wholeheartedly, no reservations, no biases, no judgment. And they have such this capacity of love and trust and faith in what you say. That is what you meant, and that is what you're going to do. And when they look at you, you can see that intentional. It's intentional. It's in their eyes. It's in their behavior, their response to you. My mama said it, and that settles it. My auntie and uncle said that, and they said it, and that's what I believe. And they just go gung-ho at that as they take you at your word. And so the Father had me remember that in the beginning of my love relationship with him, my intimacy with him, people, God, there would be moments that I would literally just be on the floor next to my bed, just weeping, not tears of sorrow, but just this rest, this feeling of completeness and wholeness and trusting and knowing that he had me. Whatever was going on around me, it did not matter. It was just a muted noise. My only focus and attention was him. And the scripture that comes to heart is seek him with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the faith that I had in him, it was undeniable. It was, my Father said, and I know that he will honor his word. He's not like man that he should lie. And he's my Father God, who took time enough to transform my life and my heart. And I can trust him with my heart. And so he had me reflect on that in regards to us talking about faith on today. And I love the opening song. It says, Lord, change my heart. Because when I reflect on what was and what is now, there is a great void. I'm not there anymore. I don't know if it's because of titles, because of books, because of revivals, because of conferences, whatever. But my desire this day is to go back to that faith, the very basic part of faith that just believes God, that has the God kind of faith. He says, have the faith of God, the faith that will believe him in spite of what I see, and that there will be, you know, the noise and the chaos around me will not be so loud, but his word will speak the loudest to me because it is established, eternally established. So that's why I can say when I come here every Saturday, you know, he's saying, daughter, take off the floaters. I'm calling you into the deep now. I know what you've done, but I'm not giving you benefits on your, you know, I'm not giving you cookies on your past or what you've done. I'm looking at what you are doing currently, because we are always pressing forward towards the mark. It's a press forward, not a press going back, because we're building line upon line, precept upon precept. Faith is growing. It is not stagnant. So if I pray in the spirit from the first time that I encountered him and had relationship with him, and my ability to pray in the spirit was for 1 hour, I should be far exceeding that right now. Amen. It shouldn't be for 1 hour. It should be much more than that. Because the relationship should have grown to such an extent that I desire my passion, my thirst for him. It is not settling at level one, but it wants to go up and up and up and higher and deeper into him, deeper depths. And so I believe that as he is calling us to understand this foundation of faith, it is so that we'll have a foundation that grows, is ever expanding as we are growing in our relationship with him in the name of Jesus. And I know that we had touched on that very fact that relationship is so critical and key. The scripture tells us that our faith, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Our confidence, our trust, it is part of a firm foundation of this thing called faith. Faith is life. I say my life is faith. Faith is life. Everything that I do, even what I say, I'm saying it by faith because I believe that faith is also a spirit. And it's part of that whole treasure trove that we have that encompasses the fruit of the spirit. As we have embraced the Spirit of God, who is the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, we should have the faith of God. Our faith is not in this world or the things that we see. It says it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is in what we hope for. The beginning of everything that matters begins spiritually. That is key. It begins in the spirit realm first before we see the manifestation in the natural. It's not merely just believing a belief system. It's not a mental ascent, and we've said that so often, but operational. Again, it's not a mental ascent just because you can regurgitate the word. There has to be some faith behind the word that you speak. The scripture says in Corinthians, I believe, thus I spoke, or I have spoken. In the name of Jesus. And I believe, again, it's tying back full circle around part of our personal relationship, how you're walking. Because how you're walking equates how you're believing. Hey, my God. And how you're believing equates how much faith is operating in you. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and go back to my first. I want to introduce again Prophet Michael Crawford, man of God. Welcome again to the platform, glory to God, and Prophetess Melissa Ross. And we're just going to go in that order, round robin, as we go around the table, maybe responding or even adding or injecting in Jesus' name. So Prophet Michael Crawford, man of God, you have the mic.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that, Apostle. And you know, I was sitting here listening to you, and as you were talking about, the Lord took you back to the very beginning. I remember, I can't really say that. I mean, I was raised in a church, but it wasn't a spirit-filled church. But the first time that I encountered being in a more spirit-filled and spirit-led church, I was part of the youth organization of that church. And I would drive the van and go pick all the kids up from especially off the Army base and bring them to the church. And I remember this one particular day I went to go pick them up on a Saturday just to spend some time with them and just to pour into them and help to nurture them. And this one individual, this one young boy was really sad. He was depressed. And I'm like, what's wrong? What can I do? And he said, my football is flat. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he said, would you pray for it that it would air up? And that kind of caught me off guard. And I'm like, I don't really know if prayer is going to make your football air up. And he said, well, you believe in prayer, right? Well, yes, I do. He said, well, I believe in prayer, and your belief and my belief, then I'm going to join mine with yours, and my football should get aired back up. And I'm saying that because that was the level of faith that he had at that time. He had enough foolish faith and believed enough foolishly that if we just prayed that his football would air up. Of course it didn't, because it required pumping some air in it. But I'm saying all that because this young boy, to this day, I can remember that as you were talking. And it makes me have to be honest and look back and reflect. Where did we lose our foolishness when it comes to faith? All of us, and I'm willing to believe this, all of us, when we first came to know the Lord and we first really had an encounter with him and God visited us and we really got to understand what the word was and how the Spirit could move, we all believed foolishly that God could do anything. And I'm not saying that he can't do it, but to air up a football was maybe a step further than I just had the belief for. Of course, it still didn't happen. At what point in our walk, at what point in our life did we lose that foolishness? What caused us to change our vision? What caused us to change even our belief? And as I was thinking for the last couple of days, not just about faith, but just about whatever it was that the Lord wanted to share, every time I would think about it, the Lord would just keep taking me to 2 Kings chapter 4. And I don't want to read the whole thing. I want to read just a couple of verses in this. 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to start at verse 8. It says, and it fell on the day that Elisha passed Shunem, and where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he shall turn in thither. And I want to stop right there because when we're talking about faith, our faith has to push us. It has to push us to do some things that's uncomfortable. It has to push us to do some things that will cause us at times to walk in unfamiliar places, to walk in unfamiliar territory, that it will cause us to stretch ourselves even beyond what to us may be comfortable. But if God is causing you to stretch to that level, if God is calling you and wanting us to stretch to that point, God will also provide, and he will also equip us for the stretching. The stretching may be uncomfortable. I remember when I first went in the Marine Corps, and I thank God for the recruiter that I had, because he was brutally honest with me. And he said, Michael, I'm not going to lie to you. He said, the physical part of basic training is going to be excruciating. He said, but they're not going to take you out your first day there and expect you to be able to run 5 miles. They'd kill you. They would kill everybody there. He says, but they will take you out and give you a goal and say your goal may be 1 mile or maybe 2 miles, and they want to see to what extent of that can you do without there being a problem. At what point are you going to drop off? And then they know from that point, now we know where we need to start training. Well, our faith and our faith walk a lot of times needs to be to that same degree, that we have a certain point that we're willing to go, that we're comfortable with, but God is trying to get us into the uncomfortable part of that. When God takes us to a point, and I love it because I know my wife, Lady Thornburg, and I have seen this picture countless times of this individual standing at basically at the edge of a cliff. And his foot is out there hanging off the cliff with the caption underneath it, Lord, if this is what you want me to do. Because God is wanting us to step where we can't see what our foot is getting ready to come down on. Because the walk of faith many times requires us to walk so that we cannot see, so that we're basically walking blind or walking with blinders on. Because if we could see everything that God has set in front of us, even this woman, if she knew what was really going to happen, would she have still done what she did? She went to her husband and told him, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. And then she didn't really ask, but she told her husband, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee. So she's wanting him to be in agreement with what she's feeling led to do, to make the man of God someplace that's comfortable just for him, that he can come and he can have his private time, his quiet time, that's set apart just for him. And if you keep reading that whole story in 2 Kings chapter 4, God blesses her through the man of God. But then later on, the promise, the thing that was promised to her dies. And at what point in our life did our promise die? At what point in our walk did the promise, the thing that we've been holding so dear, the thing that we've been holding so close, at what point did that promise go away from us? You know, I can remember and I can look back and reflect on a word that was given to Lady Songbird and I at a McDonald's in Beaumont, Texas. And the word was to move to North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina is your place of blessing. It is your land of milk and honey. And the Lord says to move and to move now. And the man of God that we were talking to ended the conversation at that point. Well, for my wife and I, that was confirmation number 3. Because we had already been to North Carolina. We felt good about it, but we didn't have anything solid set up. We went back to Louisiana. Our pastor that we were under at the time, and we believed in covering, and we still believe in covering, our pastor, when he found out that we both came back, was surprised that we were both back there. And I'm like, well, Pastor, why are you surprised? He said, because when you told me that you were going to North Carolina, felt in my spirit that the Lord was saying North Carolina is where he's moving you to. And I told my wife, that both of the Crawfords will not be back. One of them will be back to pack up their stuff, but they're leaving us and going to North Carolina. That was confirmation number two. Confirmation number three came from that word in Beaumont, Texas, at a McDonald's. And we did what we had to do in the natural to try to make everything work for that word. But we did not have, I don't know who this is for, I don't know why this is the direction that, but we did not have near enough resources to make the move happen. I mean, there was no way in the natural that we are going to pay for us to move to North Carolina. Neither one of us was working a regular job. We did not have that kind of money coming in. We did not have the money set aside to do it. But God, because of our obedience to continue to do what he had called us to do, which was walk out the assignment that we had at that time, God just kept meeting need after need, every need that we had. We never missed a car note. We never missed a rent payment. And it's all because God kept doing it because we were walking by faith. And at what point, for those that's listening, at what point did you lose that passion that you had? Did you lose that drive that God will take care of this? No, I need to do this. I need to work this out. I take the I out of it. Tell me where I comes in God. There is no I in that, except for I am that I am. And this thing that we keep calling faith is something that I believe for every one of us that's on this line is causing us to be stretched into uncomfortable and unfamiliar places. Because this faith walk that we have to be on in this season that we're in, and for what God wants to do with us, to us, and through us as we move forward, is going to take many of us into uncomfortable and unfamiliar places. Prophetess, I turn it over to you. I want to hear what you have to say.
Blessings, man of God. Obedience, you know, you always hear I was listening to your testimony and how you and your wife stood on faith. You know, they always say that, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. But we, you know, having that type of faith, you know, that we have to stand on the word of God and believe what his word said. As Apostle was saying that, you know, his word is yes and amen. It does not return void. He is not a man that he shall lie. We have to walk by faith. But many Christians, you know, we find, you know, nowadays, it doesn't take much to shake someone's faith. When they face a storm, you know, things come up in our life, you know, and that's part of what we've been like ministering on in the past few months about to elevate faith. And faith is like the foundation of all things spiritual. And combining that faith with prayer and just that trust in our Father. And I, you know, I have to go back and, you know, woman of God, all I could say was you begin to talk about your morning. I was like, wow, my God, today. You know, I had a question the other day that I heard, and it kind of, and I really dwelled on this question. And the question came across, are we living our lives in a way that are worthy of the gospel of Christ? You know, and it was like, I felt immediately that it was a call to return to your first love. And it took me to the Old Testament first. And then I was thinking about Revelations 2. It's the scripture that I finally ended up in. And we're for the church of Ephesus, where they lost their sight of their first love. And that question, though, and it made so much sense that it made me to start thinking, you know, questioning myself and, you know, am I living a life that's worthy of the gospel? Is there much more now, you know, and that You know, it's all about the heart. You know, is my heart and love for God worthy? I started, you know, is my love for both God and others displayed in how I live? Do I love the Lord with all the heart and all my actions? Do they align with the heart of God? Do my actions display my love for God? You know, and all of these are questions were just, you know, coming through my, through, you know, and I was just praying. I was like, okay, God, where do you want me to go with this? And, you know, and that's when I went to Revelation 2 and started to look at that scripture. You know, with everything that's going on with the world today, the pressures of life, you know, we went through this virus, this pandemic, and, you know, having to wear masks, having social distance from another, you know. And I was like, has my love faded over time? You know, and so when you brought that up, you know, I was like, have I gotten away from that first love, that fire that I had when I first came back to the Lord, when I first rededicated my life again, and that fire of just, you know, I had to be in his presence all the time. I had to, you know, I spent so much time in his word, so much time just praying, you know. We would have all night prayer nights, and, you know, I was, that over time, you know, I still spend time with the Lord, but not like I used to, and it just like all was making sense. And so when the apostle brought that up, I was like, okay. You know, these are all, to me, were legitimate questions that were coming to heart with me. You know, and I was like, has my love for God unknowingly lessened? And the enemy, you know, of our, you know, of our soul, you know, is always going to try to bring things in and this, that, and the other. But like in the, you know, a church on fire for Christ doesn't just suddenly change in one day. It happens slowly. You know, in over a time. And just like the Church of Ephesus, they, you know, they had forsaken their first love. You know, I believe the Church of Ephesus began to, you know, focus on the battle rather than Jesus. They focused on battling sin rather than on loving the Savior. I feel they focused on what they truly should confront rather than focusing on Jesus. So, you know, their duty replaced the love they first had for Jesus. You know, the believers have, you know, had forgotten what drew them to Jesus in the first place, which was the love of God. It's that love that he has for us that does draw us. You know, so may we never forget the love of God, and may we never take our spiritual eyes off of the one who first loved us, and that we continue to love him first. You know, may we never replace motive of, you know, or, you know, with love for Jesus and others, you know, with religious do's and don'ts and the way the religious world is. You know, I had put in Revelations 2:1-7, so I would like to hear the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I knew your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance. I knew that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstands from your place. But if you have this in your favor, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, I think that's how you pronounce that, which I also hate. Whoever has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. You know, we have heard the, you know, we should never allow our duties, our hard work to replace or quench that motive and love that we have in our hearts for Jesus. You know, we don't want to allow anything to become between you and your love for Jesus. Was you trying to say something, Apostle? you know, the Church of Ephesus is, you know, there, and the other six churches were given instructions that regarding their spiritual conditions and needs, and yet all seven churches were given a promise, but the promises was dependent on how each church responded to the message they gave him, that he gave them. Each church, each individual is responsible to act in a way that glorifies God and to repent as needed. So, you know, over the past, we've been talking about our relationship with God, our heart. You know, it is a heart thing, you know, and God does look at the heart. You know, a lot of, you know, we can have an outer appearance. What's really truly in our heart, you know, and how do you build that faith, that foundation? And that is by spending time. You know, we spoke about, you know, faith has a voice. You know, we put in, you know, also it, we have to put it into to work. You know, we have to build our faith. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The apostle just let me know I was breaking up a little bit, so I'm not sure.
Go ahead. You're fine. Amen. I can hear you now.
Okay. But once, like, getting back to, I was distracted by that when you were saying that I was interrupted. But, you know, the Lord, you know, when we allow ourselves to be motivated by the love of God, and then, you know, and we share the message of God's love to others, and then the hardships and the attacks and everyday life soon takes a toll on us. And the love for Jesus and others can begin to like fade away, and we have to stay focused. You know, our eyes have to stay focused on Jesus. You know, we have to stay in His Word. We have to spend quality time with the Father. You know, just like we've spoken on different things about, you know, our personal relationship with the Father, spending time in prayer. You know, when Jesus, you know, He would go off and pray by Himself. He would go off early morning hours and pray, and away from the distraction, away from everybody. You know, and we have to discipline ourselves to do the same. You know, I find that a lot of people, you know, they start following these, you know, great theologists online and these big platforms and things like that, but are they really getting into the Word of God and listening to what God is saying to you? Because the Word will speak for itself. God's Word is our, you know, it's our instruction manual for everything in life.
Amen. Amen. You can go on, Prophetess. I just said amen. Are you, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, go on. Amen.
You know, so I just, you know, I was just saying, you know, we cannot let the love of God and the love for others to grow faint. You know, because we've gotten so busy fighting the battles in life, but, you know, it is God who fights our battles if we let Him. You know, we have to listen to the Spirit of God, and we have to press in. We have to take time to absorb the love and the presence of God each and every day. Take time to pray, receive from God. You know, a lot of people are so busy, and some, you know, they don't even of asking for prayer. You know, they're like, you know, and we just like, you know, I need, but they never take that time to just get into that quiet space and say, okay, Father, here I am. speak to me. And just let his presence consume you and, you know, take time to refresh by reading the Word of God every day. The Lord, you know, but it does take discipline. It does take action on our part. Of where we were when we first came to Christ, when we had that fire, we had that excitement and stuff. And but it's so easy to allow distractions in the that are going on around us in the world and with things in the way that the society is today and all the biblical prophecies that are coming, you know, that are coming to pass. And, you know, time is short and we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. I want to be able to stand in that day and, you know, and stand on the Word of God. You know, I pray all the time, keep, you know, strengthen my faith. I keep, you know, I pray for it, you know, increase that faith, Father God, every single day that I may stand. And, you know, but some people, you know, they don't even come to the Lord until there's a crisis. If you put your faith in the Lord, He will take care of the storms in our life. He will direct our path. Are you ready to jump in there, Apostle, and kind of add to that a little bit?
Actually, yes, amen. I just want to make sure that I honored protocol. Please let me know that the audio is okay, amen, because I can see that we don't want to have any challenges. We want to make sure that the word is going through clearly. Glory to God. So if you're on earbuds and we can't hear you and you're breaking up, try using your speakerphone. And also when each person is going forth on the panel, make sure that you're muted so that we won't hear your background noise. But I wanted to also introduce, we have here at the table, amen, Pastor Daryl Pointer. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. Can you hear
Praise
me?
Praise the Lord. Man of God, you've been here. You said you've been here from the beginning. I got your text. Did you want to go ahead and inject and add something to the discussion regarding faith in Jesus' name? We'll give you a couple of minutes and add something.
Oh, hallelujah. This is such a blessing. Yes, as we get older, we get wiser in the world. And then we sit there and we fall off our faith from Jesus, not realizing that faith shows Jesus that you love him. One of the first commandments, love thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And when we don't have that faith to believe, I can run around and jump into any type of false prophet because I don't have the faith to believe. When I have that faith to believe, now, I had a strange thing happen to me years ago, 2004. My goal was to go there and open up a church. Well, I started off, I had thousands of dollars to go, but trying to get out of town, have family, always had problems, car problem, needed money, had family, I had all kinds of problems, rent problem, needed money, so I couldn't get, so by the time I still had my goal to go because I had a job waiting for me in Georgia at Lockheed, and I already had the job all set up. They were just doing my security clearance and everything was good. But I'm giving out money and I still went on, didn't know how much I had no idea. Now I get out there to Marietta, Georgia. I have a couple of hundreds of dollars and I didn't know. All I know is I seen a yellow light going around this building, and I said, and my wife said, go over here. I said, no, something telling me go over there. And I went over there where something was telling me to go. And it was a rental place. And there was a girl there. She said, she signed us up. It was only $199 to move in to a 3-bedroom secure apartment. Well, when I sit there and I thought I still had a whole lot of money. Dumbfounded, didn't know. But she said, well, give me that paper that you have that Lockheed hired you. I said, okay. So I had to spend the night at a hotel and go through the trailer and go get the paperwork out. I finally got the paperwork and I showed her. She said, okay. Now I'm still thinking we got a lot of money. All we had was a couple more $100 to buy season and everything, you know, to cook with and get some meat and food. And, I mean, I just sit there and see how God just opened up the door. He had to make me dumb to sit there and trust in him. And that's what he have to do to a lot of us, make us dumb to trust in him, because we get that wisdom. First thing we think is, oh, you only got this much money. You only got this much money. But you know what? My father said he have a cattle of 1,000 hills. So why are we trusting in? I mean, I go out there and I stick a key in a car, and that car start up, and then one day that car don't start up. One day it don't start up. So I take it to a mechanic. He fix it. Say, okay, I found the problem. Car the next day, and it don't start up. Take it back to that mechanic. I trust that mechanic. Then he finally fixed it. Everything good. Well, now I stick this key in the car. I don't go and stick the key in the car and say, oh, is it going to start up? Is it going to start up? It may not start up. I stick it in and it's going to start up. But you know what? Why we don't do that to Jesus? Why we don't plug into him as if he's going to do what he say he's going to do? Why we don't have that trust like that? I mean, we should have 100%. No, let me take that back. We should have 150% trust in him, knowing that he's going to do what he's going to do. Not sit up there and be so wise to the world and say, maybe he's not going to do it because I did this wrong. Maybe he's not going to do it because I didn't do this right, you know. We got to have that 100% trust in him. Trust in him. And show him that you love him. And let me read a scripture for you. And it's coming out of Numbers. I'm a number man. Okay, first of all, faith is in the Bible 339 times. Now, if God put it in that many times, what he's trying to do, he's trying to set an example for us. But I'm going to go to Numbers. Numbers said, Numbers 12:7, it says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all thy house. Okay? So if Moses is faithful in him, now let me go. Okay, I'm gonna stop there. Anyway, so why can't we be faithful and trust in God as if he's gonna do it? Not, you know, get rid of the wisdom of the world and start getting that wisdom in the spirit world. That wisdom in the spirit world will blind you of that wisdom of the world, because you cannot take that wisdom of the world to where you're trying to go. If you're trying to go to heaven, you can't take it there. You can take it to heaven, I mean, the lake of fire. You can take it there. You can take all the wisdom of the world there. But you cannot take that wisdom to heaven of the world. You got to take the wisdom of the spirit world to heaven. Okay, I'm going to let the next person go on.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for that share. Because of time, I'm going to go back to Prophet Michael Crawford, man of God. You have the mic. Amen in Jesus' name.
I'm good.
Okay, praise the Lord. Prophetess Melissa?
I was just, you know.
Praise the Lord, everybody is good. This is great. Amen. But let me just inject. Amen. I've been listening and taking notes as you all have been going forth. And thank you again, Pastor Darryl, for it's like coming in and just putting the cherry on the pie or the cake, as they say. When it was mentioned first initially, I believe it was some weeks ago, and this all is so powerful because it's always reflecting back or going back to what was already released initially when we started this conversation. And I'm going to go with what I heard. The word, you know the word, but you have little faith, that's just religion. Amen? You're operating out of your own strength, actually. And it's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. They knew the law, the letter of the law, but they lacked the spirit. Amen. And then faith and doubt cannot cohabitate in the same place. We know that. And faith is indeed inquiring us to walk where we have no point of reference, as Prophet Michael Crawford shared. And yes, at what point did we lose hope or trust in the promise of God? As in the beginning, we had such a tenacity and consistency, and even currently, present day, it's sort of faltered off. I mean, if you were to try to take measurements of that, amen, you would see that there's some sort of discrepancy in where you were and how you started and where you are currently. And I believe that, yes, at one point, did I lose that fervency, that fire? You know, yes, I'm a great orator. I can speak to crowds, amen, books, and but none of that means anything, amen. And so it had me go again back to the basic, the foundation of faith. Remember the time when you would just sit in my presence and weep, and the weeping was not because of sorrow. The weeping was because of the overwhelming presence of God. And as he was downloading and I'm receiving from him, and it was just so overwhelming to my flesh because the flesh cannot contain the spirit of God. We know that. So I say that's why we weep when we're in the presence of God. But I digress. We did what we had to do with no resources in the natural. We just believed God. We took him at his word. And I like what the man of God said, Pastor Darryl. He's talking about, you know, we can have confidence in him 150% because the scripture itself even backs that up in Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, we have been confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Again, how did you lose your passion or your faith? How has it dwindled? How has it lessened? Why have you allowed the enemy's voice to be louder than the word? And I like what I heard also. I think this was Prophet Michael saying that we, you know what, just get over it. We will be uncomfortable because the scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and has not even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. The question came up, are we living a life that is worthy of our calling? Amen. I'm going to pause just for a moment and allow someone else to go forth as this noise goes on. Okay, no one went forth, but I'm just going to try to circle back, amen, and come to a summary. The question came up, are we living a life that is worthy of our calling? The scripture says in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. It is our faith that is working in us
and the faith that we have because of the love that we have for our Father, who has given us a assurance, a covenant that cannot be altered, that is eternally established in the name of Jesus. The scripture says faith works by love, right? And I think you said, someone said that, said duty has replaced love. And it is like we're walking in the law of the word and not the spirit of the word, which is God himself, who is love, who is the embodiment of love in Jesus' name, who is faith, who anchors us in the name of Jesus. The enemy comes for the word. He comes for the faith that we have in the word. And if he can get you to stop speaking what God said, he will steal the promise. And I believe that it is now in this hour, in this season, we need to lock into the word to manifest what the Lord desires through his word. And if your eye be single, then your whole body is full of light, is what the word says. So if we are full of the word of God, then, you know, out of the heart comes the issues of life. From the heart we speak the abundance that is in the heart. From the mouth we speak what is in the heart. The heart should be receiving the impartation from the word of God and the revelation of the word that's given through the person of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that faith is calling us. Faith has a voice. We even said that. Faith speaks, and it is calling us. Pastor Darrell said something, and also Prophet Michael said something. They said, Pastor Darrell said, faith makes us dumb, but Prophet Michael said we have to look foolish. He uses the foolish things to, what, confound the wise. The wisdom of this world is nothing in comparison to the wisdom of God. And our faith must rest in the wisdom of God, not in the wisdom of men. I like the scripture, this 2 Corinthians 5:5. It even reads that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And Pastor Darrell was talking about the measure of faith some weeks ago when he was with us. We've all been given a measure of faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But that measurement does not decrease. It does not dwindle. It grows. It builds. How does it build? How do we contend? Well, Jude tells us that we contend for it, what? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that means, when you're praying in the spirit, there has to be some sort of intimacy, because no flesh can come in the presence of God. So it's your spirit going in, hallelujah, your spirit going in, because we are joined to him. We are grafted in. In him we live and move and have our being, glory to God. And as we are in him, moving in him, having our life and our essence in him, ha, we have the fruit of the Spirit. We have faith. We have hope. Glory to God. We have the ability, again, and the confidence of knowing that he is doing a good work in us. His word is our foundation. We will not be shook. We will not be distracted. We will not be deterred. It doesn't matter what we see in the natural in the name of Jesus. Because by faith we walk, we exist, we live, we move forward, and we believe in Jesus' name. But again, I want to just say that faith has a voice. Unbelief cannot be, you know, cohabitate with faith in the name of Jesus. You can know when you're walking in the spirit and when you're walking in the flesh, because doubt and unbelief is part of a carnal mindset. Amen? But faith is part of the spirit. And the word which is the voice of God, amen, is what should be released from us every time we open our mouth. And not decree, make declarations and decrees of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. I want to say, as I've had any last words, I'm going to go around table. Amen. If you want to inject one thing or just one word you want to leave for this broadcast, for those that are with us and those that will be listening on the replay in the name of Jesus, that without faith, we know it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently
seek him. And we must live by faith in this hour. I cannot stress it enough. Because the scripture says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Either you're in this or not. Scripture says, hot or cold, if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out. Your faith has to be secured in this hour. You must know that you know and believe him with all of your being. The scripture says all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the caveat is, and this is why we just make it simple, is that we know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, and there is no failure in him. Failure is not in the DNA of our Father God. So we can hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, without tottering to and fro, without being, my God, being swayed by every wind of doctrine and the demons of devils. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes, and it fails not in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask Prophetess Melissa any last words for our audience.
You know, you was talking about the way that, you know, you mentioned about living our life and having that faith, you know. We just, you know, I think about the Sermon on the Mount and things like that when Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching and explaining a foundation for living, you know, for the way we should live, both, you know, in the present life and for all eternity. But, you know, we need to adhere to his instructions, you know, and when we do, you know, happiness, joy, peace, mercy, you know, and heaven will be ours. You know, we have to hunger and thirst for that righteousness. We have, and if we do, we will be filled and called, you know, the sons and daughters of God. You know, the law, you know, is to honor God, not man. And the law is to be the best of the basis for living each day. You know, we are to put
Amen.
Others before ourselves. We are to focus on God and in an inward change of the heart. You know, we are to focus on the spiritual more than we are the physical. You know, I feel, you know, these teachings were, you know, with Jesus, you know, that he taught on, you know, like on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, those are opposite of what the scribes and the religious leaders of those days were focused on, you know, and how they lived their life. You know, Jesus was calling the followers of God to stop living a, you know, a hypocritical life, but rather to be living an example of people of faith to others, you know, to inspire others to live a life of faith in God. And that only can be done by building one's life on Jesus, the solid rock. And again, it falls back in our relationship, prayer, I just, you know, my prayers for those that are listening online today, you know, or those that will listen later, that, you know, we will begin to search our own hearts and, you know, ask the same questions that I thought the Lord was asking me. Are we living a life that is worthy of him, you know, and return to our first love? I believe he's calling the churches to come back to their first love. So I just want to, you know, say that I am praying that God, that those that are listening, that they have been given ears to hear and a heart to receive, and just let us begin to humble ourselves and the Father.
Praise God.
I'm getting a lot of
prophet.
So I'm sorry.
Amen. Prophet Crawford, do you have any last words for our audience? Amen. That you'd like to leave, that you're impressed in your spirit to leave with our audience, and will be available on the replay in Jesus' name.
Amen. The only thing that I'd like to just end with, and I say this quite often, is get away from the microwave society.
get away from the microwave mentality that you want everything right now, that you need it all quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because the Lord doesn't always work that way. But then at the same time, stretch yourself to walk in unfamiliar and uncomfortable areas. Because that's what it's going to take. If you really want to walk by faith, you have to be willing to walk in uncomfortable and unfamiliar areas. You can't always stay in the same circle. You have to expand and go where you've never been before. But go as the Lord is leading you. That walk of faith is a walk of how much do you trust that he will not let you fall. If he has truly called you to take that step, take that step. But if he hasn't truly called you, stay right where you are until you know that God has called you and that God has spoken to you.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor Darrell, do you have any last words that you'd like to leave for our listening audience and to be available on the replay?
Yes, I do. I just want the audience to know, if you ever see a farmer and he plant a seed, he don't keep turning the seed over day by day, seeing if something grow. He knows something's going to grow. He knows without a shadow of a doubt that something's going to grow. Okay? Now, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's going to grow inside you. First you got birthed with him. Then he starts growing. His growing starts maturing you. The things that you used to do, you don't do no more because he's growing in you. That's the faith. That's that faith that he's gonna grow in you when you give your life to him. So if you haven't gave your life to him, please give your life to him and watch and see him grow and grow and grow. But like I said, just believe. Have faith. If you're newborn, have faith as a grain of mustard. But if you've been in the ministry for a long time, let that mustard seed grow into a mustard plant that you're able to go ahead and trust God with whatever. Okay, I'm finished.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Darrell. Thank you, Prophet Michael Crawford. Thank you, Prophetess Melissa Ross. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. My God. Have faith. But have the faith of God. Our faith means nothing. But his faith means everything in us. And his faith is based on what he's already said and who he is, his very character. He certainly is a God of integrity. He's not schizophrenic. He's not AWOL. What he said, that is exactly what he's going to do. And he has given to each and every one of us a measure of that faith in Jesus' name. So have faith in the living word of God, for the word declares, in 1 Peter 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:9, that the end of all things is at hand. So it is important that we have faith, that we are sober, that we watch unto prayer, all prayer, amen, watching, and with faith, and resisting steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. Again, powerful shares. Indeed, I would admonish those who are just joining us to check out the replay on YouTube that will be available. Prophet Michael Crawford, Prophetess Melissa, Pastor Darrell Pointer, we bless the Lord for each and every one of you and for your obedience and being here and for the value added for our listening audience. And thank you. Thank you for this conversation at the Red Table regarding faith. Indeed, each of you have released in your own way a Kairos word in this hour. And for those interested in connecting with you first, Prophet Michael Crawford, man of God, what is the contact information?
So the best way to get in touch with me, honestly, probably through Facebook, which is just my name, which is Michael Crawford. And if they just leave me a message, because I probably check that more than I do anything, that's honestly the easiest way to ever get in touch with me.
Evangelist Melissa Ross, what is the contact information if people would like to get in touch with you?
I can also be found on Facebook. It's under my name, Melissa Ross. I'm not opposed to, you know, giving out my phone number if you want to send me a text or message me on message, you know, that, you know, they're more than welcome to reach out. You know, my phone number is 540-771-4889. But like I said, a lot of times, you know, I get a lot of messages through Facebook, so I am out there. So if you just need prayer or encouragement, you know, I ask that you reach out.
Amen. Praise God. And I know that you're such a wonderful and humble servant. Amen. This would be an opportune time to share about the upcoming event for Harvest House, if you'd like to share that. Or, people of God, you can always go to her page to get full details regarding the upcoming Harvest House event.
She's
Amen. Woman of God, are you at liberty to share it?
I'm going to let you call her.
Yes. We are actually having an upcoming event right now. Jesus Christ Deliverance and Worship Center, which is the ministry I am ordained with. We are having a donation drive right now from now until the end of October to collect items for the homeless and those that are in need that are in our area. It is such an abundance. Perishable, non-perishable food items, toiletry items, and things like that, mostly like travel size, of course, and winter items. And we are going to be collecting donations up until the end of October. On November the 4th, here in Front Royal, Virginia, we have rented out the gazebo, which is a place in the middle of our town. And we will be hosting an event with evangelism and music by Band of the Brothers. We will be handing out donations at that time to the community. So we are into the surrounding communities if they can find a way to get here. So we are looking forward to that event. And that will be on November the 4th we'll start about 12 p.m. that day and go until about 5. So we're, you know, keep us in prayer. Keep this event in prayer. Pray that the, you know, donation items that are in need will come in for us to be able to distribute to the community. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do.
Praise God. Praise God. I know I have some blankets and some clothing that I'd like to donate to this cause, which is so powerful in Jesus' name. Pastor Darrell, man of God. Did you want to share your contact information and also what sort of events, if any, that you'd like to make known to our listening audience in Jesus' name?
Yes. The best way to get in touch with me is Daryl with 2 L and Donna Pointer. Pointer like a pointer dog. You can get in touch with me through Facebook under that name. And we don't have any upcoming events yet. We will have something coming we're putting it together, but it's not a date or anything yet. So we let you know we're on the West Coast, California. So if any California listeners are listening, you can get in touch with me through Facebook. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Again, that's Daryl Poynter or Donna Poynter. They're both pastors. I believe you didn't give the ministry name, man of God, but you can get details of the ministry and their contact information by going to their Facebook profile in Jesus' name. And for those that are interested in contacting me, my email address would be healingmountainsministries@gmail.com. And I'm also on Facebook at PD Westbrook. That's P as in prayer, D as in dawn, Westbrook, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you again, each and every one of you. I am honored to have you here on the panel. Again, a listening audience, please forgive us for any audio deficiencies. We're working out all the kinks with this new equipment. But we bless the Lord for you joining us on today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray us out now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for this platform. Thank you that you were glorified in this hour in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for manifesting your power and your presence. I ask that you touch the life and nature of God within each and every one that's under the sound of our voices, that they will come to this place of change if their faith is not where you would call it to be in this hour. Let them come up, go deeper, Lord God. Hallelujah. In you, in Jesus' name. I want to say thank you again for stopping by for another Shabbat Saturday. Prophet Michael Crawford, Prophetess Melissa Ross, Pastor Daryl Poynter, love you all and thank you so very much. I am your host, Apostle Westbrook, and for those, amen, who are with us, I pray that the Lord would bless you and let his face, oh God, his face shine upon you and his grace pursue you and chase you down with favor in the name of Jesus. Again, thank you for joining us. And come back next Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Shabbat Saturday. Amen. Faith Conversations at the Red Table at this great station, Elations Radio, with our producer, Dr. Kimmy Kim, and woman of God, Dr. Robinson, Dr. Kimmy Kim Robinson. May the Lord God continue to use you, great woman of God. Now, please close us out. Shalom, shalom, everyone. We love you. The Lord bless you.
Living life on the edge of expectation. Ever since my life took on a new direction, I've been living life contrary to condemnation. Because God, you had mercy on me. You revealed your son in me. Opened my eyes and now I see. To live my life more abundantly. I'm walking by faith. Not by sight, in your power and not my own might, and I live to die, so you can increase and I decrease. You're wonderful, oh. Yes, you are. Joe walking around.